And in this regard, let's listen yet again to this comment of Kropotkin's friend on his experience in the Paris Commune. Quote, that the boulevards were filled from one end of Paris to the other. Everyone talked about public affairs. All mere personal preoccupations were forgotten. No more was thought of buying or selling. All felt ready, body and soul, to advance toward the future. Men of the middle class, even, carried away by the general enthusiasm, saw with joy a new world opened up. If it is necessary to make a social revolution, they said, make it then. Put all things in common. We are ready for it. All the elements of the revolution were there. It was only necessary to set them to work. When I returned to my lodging at night, I said to myself, how fine is humanity, after all. But no one knew it. It has always been calumniated. Then came the elections. The members of the commune were named. And then, little by little, the ardor of devotion and the desire for action were extinguished. Unquote. And it's worth considering this from Rosa Luxemburg on the electrifying effect of the general strike. Quote, the day of this celebration was to be April 21. At first, the Australian workers intended this only for the year 1856. But this first celebration had such a strong effect on the proletarian masses of Australia, enlivening them and leading to new agitation, that it was decided to repeat the celebration every year. In fact, what could give the workers greater courage and faith in their own strength than a mass work stoppage, which they had decided themselves? What could give more courage than the mustering of their own troops? Thus, the idea of a proletarian celebration was quickly accepted, and from Australia began to spread to other countries until finally it had conquered the whole proletarian world. The first to follow the example of the Australian workers were the Americans. In 1886, they decided that May 1 should be the day of universal work stoppage. On this day, 200,000 of them left their work and demanded the 8-hour day. Later, police and legal harassment prevented the workers for many years from repeating this size demonstration. However, in 1888, they renewed their decision and decided that the next celebration would be May 1, 1890. And that's from What Are the Origins of May Day? Selected Political Writings of Rosa Luxemburg. What I've been pondering is the feelings that must arise when we see the unity of our fellow human beings in claiming together our inherent freedom, not as a particular tribe, but as a united humanity, i.e. the development of thought required to see that, must trigger our earliest knowledge of it, the feeling of oneness, the knowledge of being big, being infinite. But there's also this to throw in the mix. This observation of Proudhon's, in a sense, directed to Alice. This observation of Proudhon's, that habit, like a second nature, and I comment, like a false self, has the power of fixing, continuing, has the power of fixing in the mind new categorical forms, and I comment, like obedience, like a master, like submission to authority, continuing. Derived from new categorical forms, derived from the appearances which impress us, and by them usually stripped of objective reality, but whose influence over our judgments are no less predetermining than that of the original categories. And original categories, he's just said that he's going to admit the possible existence insisted upon by the philosophers of certain innate concepts to the mind. But he don't buy it. Continuing. Hence we reason by the eternal and absolute laws of our mind, and at the same time by the secondary rules, ordinarily faulty, which are suggested to us by imperfect observation, or one's parents, perhaps. This is the most fecund source of false prejudices, and the permanent and often invincible cause of a multitude of errors. The bias resulting from these prejudices is so strong that often, even when we are fighting against a principle which our mind thinks false, which is repugnant to our reason, and which our conscience disapproves, we defend it without knowing it. We reason in accordance with it, and we obey it while attacking it. Enclosed within a circle, our mind revolves about itself until a new observation, creating within us new ideas, brings to view an external principle which delivers us from the phantom by which our imagination is possessed. I love that. Let me read it one more time. Enclosed within a circle, our mind revolves about itself until a new observation, creating within us new ideas, brings to view an external principle which delivers us from the phantom by which our imagination is possessed. Unquote from Pierre-Joseph Proudhon. I find that very helpful.